Well, Chris and Deborah said everything, so I don't have to speak. When Susan cornered me in the robing room a couple of weeks ago and asked me to speak today, I said, oh, no. I knew it was mission and stewardship time, and people get up and talk about the church and why we should give and how we support. And I thought, if everyone gave the amount I give, the church would have shut down a long time ago, so I'm a terrible person to speak at this time. But I thought about it some more, and I thought I'd feel even more shiftless than I already did if I didn't speak, so I agreed to do it. And in order to make myself feel better, I started thinking about, all right, there are many other ways that people support this church and give back that don't involve money. And I began to look around me at my fellow people who come to this church. And I'd ask you to take a second and do that yourselves, to look around at the extraordinary group of people that come together every week under this roof and think about how they have touched you. A lot of people think actors are very outgoing. That's not true for a lot of us. Some of us are very, very shy. So for the shy people in the congregation, I wonder if you, like me, have ever looked at Philip Wilson and said, how does he manage to never miss a visitor and find some way to engage them in conversation, no matter how much or how little he may have in common with them? I wish I could do that. How many of you have felt closer to God because of the music that Renee gives us every week? When I was looking for a church, there was a church practically across the street from us, and I immediately had to cross it off my list because they had no choir. And I need music to help me feel God. So that's a gift that the choir and the other people that give music here give every week. Have you ever looked at Linda McGarry and been so grateful for her patience with the children over the years? Have you ever looked at someone like Roberta, who is a selfless caregiver week after week after week? People like Amal and the Lovells and so many people here who have suffered extraordinary loss and continue to go forward every week with grace and courage. People like Lucy. Many of us have lost our parents and grandparents, and someone like Lucy becomes our grandmother or our mother. People like Betsy, who seems to greet adversity with what appears, at least to the rest of us, to be this never-ending source of humor, and I'm convinced that on the worst day of her life, I would want her at my party. So if you've looked around and you haven't seen anyone who's ever touched you in this building, then I think we've failed, because I can't imagine sitting next to Jesus every week and not noticing him after a couple of Sundays. But I'm betting that you're like me and that you have seen someone here who has made your life better. And you may be thinking, yes, there are all these people who have made my life better, but I haven't really done that for anyone. But I bet you have, and you may not know it, because maybe just saying hello to someone in their own language made someone feel better when they were feeling alienated and alone. Maybe just saying hello to someone at all helped them on a day when they were convinced that nobody else even knew they existed, and you showed them that someone, at least for that moment, did. We are all angels. Or we can be. And coming here helps us to be. And you may have had an extraordinary impact on someone by a very small thing that you did. When Fran was in the hospital, I pretty much was there about 22 hours out of every 24 for a really long time. Some of that was just because I wanted to be, but a lot of it was very practical. At first, they were being very slow with giving him his anti-seizure medication. I had to keep saying, give it to him, give it to him, give it to him, because if they hadn't, he would have had a seizure, and as someone who was still having a stroke at the time, it would have been really unfortunate for him. So I couldn't leave until that was taken care of. After that, for a long time, he was somewhat disoriented, and they would tell me before I figured out that I could just never go away and they wouldn't throw me out, that he would try and get up. I'm like, he is paralyzed on the right side of his body. How far is he going to go? But they didn't want to take that responsibility, so if I had not stayed by his side, they would have restrained him. So I had to be there. So by so many of you who are too many for me to name, by bringing meals, by those of you who thought your cooking would kill us and giving money so that we could get meals, you helped me not feel that in trying to take care of my husband, I was neglecting my children and literally not putting food in their mouths. So you made it possible for them to eat and be safe and okay while I took care of my husband. And for the couple hours I could run home, shove a bite of food in my mouth. And so you helped to save his life. So the church building is important. This is the roof under which we all come. I wouldn't have found this church if there hadn't been the sign out front that I saw on my way looking for a shortcut to the George Washington. So all those things that cost money are really important. But the most important thing is, as we come together, as we strengthen each other, as we help each other find inspiration, as we remember whose example we're supposed to be following, and then as Deborah says, we go out into the world, we are helping each other to do that. We're taking a little piece of what this church gives us every week, and we may do something extraordinary, and we may even save a life.